What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
Doink and the Commanders win. What's up? What's happening? It is the Take Command instant reaction show, perhaps the most instant one that we've ever done. And we called in a pretty big name to help us review this one. With Logan roaming the sidelines in Tampa, it's my pleasure to welcome in my friend Lorenzo Alexander, Washington legend, with us to review a Commanders win. Good day for teams you used to play for, Zoe. You got the Bills winning. You got a Commanders win. And what a win this was for Washington.
Yeah, it was a good weekend of football. You know, obviously you just mentioned the Bills. As well as the Commanders. And I'm going to give a shout-out to my son's 10U football team, Miles Alexander. He had a big win yesterday
as well,
my first week of the season. So we had a lot of fun running QB. So it's a good good time we can go undefeated over the weekend.
Indeed, indeed. Everything you touched this weekend turned to gold, and that included perhaps the yellow gold. We can say the uprights are gold down in Tampa. That kick to hit the upright and doink in, just the silliest possible way for these cardiac kids to win another one at the buzzer. And there's so much to get to from this game, Zoe. But I think the fact that they win it like this, where this is how they've been all year. There's a great shot of the sideline right before that final offensive drive. Tampa goes down, gets the field goal. Heck of a stop by the defense that we should absolutely talk about. And Terry is laughing. Terry McLaurin is literally laughing on the sideline, like, here we go again. And sure enough, they get the ball back with 4:41 to go, and they don't give it back to Tampa. As a defense, I mean, I don't want to put you back into spots in your career that aren't as fun to remember, but knowing that, like, hey, this is it, backs against the wall. How hard is that for a defense, and how impressive is it what Jaden Daniels just pulled off in his first ever playoff start?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge what Jaden did. I mean, when you think about him being a rookie and what he's done this entire season, it's not surprising, but it's still extremely impressive to be able to keep his calm and his cool really this entire game, right? Because there was some mishaps, there was some mistakes made, but they kept grinding away, kept staying true to their heart. And to your point, you know, being loose on the sideline in big moments, I think is huge because you've experienced it, you've been there, and you know you have the capability of going out there executing at a high level. You know, obviously I played with Todd Bowles and been on those defenses, and I know they had the mindset of going out there, but it is a little, can be a little stressful, especially if you have a couple of younger players, right? We saw an opportunity for Clancy to make a play there and was unable to do it because sometimes the playoffs have this sense of feeling like it's moving faster than what it is because that was at stake. And it was just, you know, obviously unfortunate for their part on Tampa Bay, but obviously the Commanders all day being able to go out there, finish it off, not give the ball back. Wasn't a four-minute situation, but that's the way they treated it. Like, we're going to end the game with the football. And it was really cool to see them do that, not making any mistakes when we saw some penalties early in the game kind of hurt them and really finish out strong.
For sure. And I mean, just the coolness of Jaden on that final rush, the fake, no panic, just because I mean, he fully turns his back to the defense and just to be like, I got this. And there is just a perfect bit of comedy, too, with Kalijah Kancey, who had a tremendous game, well highlighted by the NBC broadcast, grabs his towel. And you're talking about Miles playing flag football. And it's like, no, man, you got to tackle here. And that's just, that's got to be just a terrible feeling. You see him with the towel still in his hand, put his hands on his helmet. Like, oh, no,
that's
this
the worst
guy.
Thing. I mean, you grab a tie, you get stiff armed, you know, by a QB, man. It's just, I've been there, and so I know what was going through his mind. You know, obviously with something big on the line like that, when he's been balling all night, it's like, man, why? I'd rather cherry any other play I made all night for this one right here. But that's when you play great, great players, they find ways to make plays. And Daniels did that all night and, you know, was taking some hits. I mean, he had that early, like, low hit and was able to come back and stay in the pocket and still play big time ball, throwing the ball down the field to Scary Terry, which was really cool to see all night.
I think there's a couple of key things that kind of changed this game. And the biggest, like the first big one chronologically, is that huge drive they go on in the second quarter. It's a 17-play drive. It takes, I think, like 9 minutes. I can flip back on my notes, but I'm not going to rustle through. People will know the drive I'm talking about. It's a huge chunk of time. But I felt like from that point on, Zoe, the pass rush for Tampa was much, much less than it was for like the early, like the first quarter. They were really getting after Jaden. We know Bowles is going to blitz since week 11. I said this stat a million times this week. They were blitzing on 48% of their snaps. Just an absolutely preposterous level of blitzing from Todd Bowles. And that's how they wanted to live. And because that drive was so long, and you can obviously talk about this from experience as a pass rusher of just play after play after play after play being sacked, especially because Washington runs that no huddle, even though they are not necessarily going hurry up, you kind of have to mentally be ready at all times. And I felt like for the rest of the game, the pass rush from Tampa got stifled, and that had a huge impact in Jaden's ability to then sit in the pocket, find Terry, find Diami, find Eckler, find Robinson, find OZ, find Ertz for a huge fourth down. And I felt like that was the first big thing that changed the game. And you know, what's your perspective on that, having, again, been on the other side of it?
Wholeheartedly. You know, I've gotten to see the Commanders play, you know, twice in person, once when I was in Carolina, and then when they came out here to play the Arizona Cardinals. And so now to watch them again, like full games, not in person, but from start to finish.
Sure.
Daniels is just a great job. You just named off like six or seven receivers, right, and dispersing the ball throughout. So it was never really somebody you can take away. I would say, you know, his ability to do that, make quick decisions. Also, when you think about Tampa Bay having some injuries, right, having Dean go out, right, because he was coming back from battle injury. The safety 27 went out with a head injury, and he was holding all night as well. Daniels was able to take advantage of that. And when you're able to do some of those things and getting the ball out, you almost, the pass rush becomes irrelevant because they don't have the time to get there, even when you blitz. I mean, they blitzed a couple of times, and the ball was coming right out of his hands because he knew where to go with the ball. And when you do that, it becomes disheartening. The drive gets extremely long, and by the end of it, you really don't have anything left in the tank, obviously from an emotional standpoint, but also from a fatigue standpoint, because you've been out there for 9 minutes trying to get him down, and they were able to do that. And I think being able to force them into some penalties as well really, really helped them, because Tampa Bay plays physical, just like a Todd Bowles defense, very handsy. But the receivers of the Commanders tonight came out there and competed at a high level to make those refs call some of those penalties and actually missed one, you know.
God.
In the back Ertz of the end. I'm like, man, all this emphasis on offense, and that's what you guys miss?
On a fourth down.
In the back of the end zone.
That was egregious.
Yeah.
That tackle. That was crazy. Also crazy, Diami Brown, what a night to have your career night. 5 catches, 89 yards. He has the touchdown, the early one. The physicality that he plays with is so much fun to watch. And Diami's been a frustrating player, I think, for a lot of Commanders fans until this season. He's a third-round pick. He's got 4.3 speed. He's just, why can't he get deep? Like, what is it about him? And I think what Cliff and this staff have realized is that's actually not what he's great at. Like, yes, he can take the top off of defense, but like, this is a physical football player. And it showed up in previous years in him blocking. But now they use him as a screen runner in some of these big physical routes over the middle. He catches a couple comebacks and spot routes tonight where he's taking contact as he catches it. I mean, I am so impressed with the way this staff in general, you think of some of the ways that they use some of their players offensively, Zoe, and that's how you get Alamide Zaccheaus, Diami Brown, Austin Eckler, who've been thrown out by LA, like all these guys, Zach Ertz. They find what they can do and they make them do that stuff. And now all of a sudden you get a night like this where, by the way, the Commanders rushed for 82 yards total. Robinson had 16 yards on 10 carries. Their starting running back averaged 1.6 a carry, and they just won a playoff game.
Yeah, and you know, and also I think when you think about the run game, you got to think of some of those now screens that Cliff likes to throw too, right?
Yeah.
It's an extended part of the run game that they were able to do, and I. You talk about Brown being physical on the outside. I mean, I think it was on that, might have even been on, I can't remember, it might have been a Commander sideline where he just caught the ball. And you talk about taking contact. He actually created contact running through the DB, right? And if he didn't run out of sideline real estate, he would have just kept on going and scored. And so you really like this game. As I was watching it, I thought the offensive line tonight was extremely physical, making plays down the field, covering the football, and you could just see them just take their game to another level, just the physicality. And I really love that. And if you're going to beat a Tampa Bay team that's typically the bullies when you think about their guys and what they've had in the past and success from a defensive standpoint, right, you have to take the fight to them and be willing to go the four quarters of it. And they really were able to finish it off strong tonight. And so I think those things really made a big difference there towards the end of the game.
For sure. And I'm just, the more I'm staring at some of these stats, like I got notes obviously from the game and everything, but I was like, wait a second. The Commanders averaged what per carry? I didn't realize how bad the rushing stats were. So they averaged like 2.5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
But here's the other stat that's wild with that. How do you have the ball for 35 and a half minutes when you can't run it? Like that, they had the ball for 35-26 compared to 24-34 from Tampa because they were so efficient with what they were doing in the passing game.
Exactly.
Also, Dan going forward on fourth down, they convert three of five of them. Like to average 2.5 yards a carry and have just dominate time of possession, that's really hard to do.
Yeah, that just shows you how efficient you are, right? And, you know, in the passing game, high percentage throws, guys making big time plays when they needed to, especially when things are on the line and you methodically work down the field. So it's possible. It typically doesn't happen, right? Somebody drops a pass, somebody misses a block, right? You get off schedule, somebody has a penalty and you can't get back on track. Tonight, right, kudos to Dan and the way he called this football game, because early on you go for it on fourth down and you don't get it, right? And he didn't allow that early on, I guess, setback or failure in that situation to dictate how he was going to call fourth downs moving forward. I think he really trusted his team tonight, understood what was at stake, and didn't allow the moment and maybe the stress of the moment to make him be more reserved. You know, he kind of stuck to his guns, and they decided going into this game, hey, we're going to be aggressive, you know, at all stakes. And it really paid off, obviously, at the end of the game for him to be able to do that. And big shout out to them and this defense, right? You know, after that first drive, right, they really shut the Tampa Bay down, right? They kind of went down really quick, and then they kind of found their footing and really made it a struggle the rest of the game for them to move the ball, even though my man Mike Evans was having a field day out there. But that's always a battle, seeing him and Lattimore go at it the way they do. Even though he might have came out on top, I just love the way Lattimore competes on the outside regardless of what's going on around him.
He sure does compete, and it's a lot of fun to watch. It's more fun to watch when it's not like, oh, he compete, but he lost again. He compete, but he lost again. But, you know, like he would finish all those plays. Like he tackles through the whistle. He makes sure that, like, I'm not going to tap you out of bounds. Like there is a competitiveness to him that I think does jump off the screen. Just he hasn't played football a whole lot in the last 3 months. He was hurt when he got traded, comes back, plays like a game in three quarters, hasn't played in basically a month. And Mike Evans is one heck of a tall task to have to get back on for anyone. Nevertheless, when you have that personal rivalry that those guys have, I do want to talk about the defense though, because like the end of the first half drive, that was so frustrating. They have this big long drive. They get up. It's like, oh sweet, they're going to be up 10-3 at half. And then the defense just melts down and Lattimore picks up a bunch of penalties. Tampa scores. Outside of that drive and that first drive, they were really good. And I think they also made some, you know, there's a phrase that Dan Quinn has used a lot, Zoe, winning time moments. And you think of some of the plays that Bobby Wagner specifically makes. He's Johnny on the spot when Baker gifts someone on the fumble. And then on the final Tampa drive, they've got second and inches, basically. And Baker has a keeper. And Bobby just absolutely drills him in the hole. And if he doesn't stun him right there, then the third down where Barton messes up the snap count doesn't matter as much because it's a first down. And so those two plays to me by Wagner, like are just incredible definitions of who that guy is as a football player, has been, why he's going to the Hall of Fame, and what he's been for this team.
Yeah, winners are winners. You know, some guys had that it factor to them that you're like, man, how does he always find himself in those pivotal moments and then making the plays, right? And he's done that throughout the entirety of his career, and that's why he's one of the best, as you mentioned, to ever do it, and will go in the Hall of Fame. And so it's really cool to see him continue to do it even as he's aged and moved on to another team, right? And so you know it's him and how he takes care of his body, the professional that he is, and he just plays ball hard regardless of where he's at. So it's really cool to see him still thriving and balling out there and really leading the way, you know, as an LB. And the game does typically come down to a handful of plays, and you want to be able to really say it was here. And Bobby Wagner was making those plays tonight, and it was really cool to watch.
Anything else on the defensive side that stuck out to you before I throw a couple more things at you? But you got your own observations. You only played, what, 13, 14 years in the league?
You know, I just think that the consistency of the game, right? They gave up big plays, but they didn't allow that to deter them. And so when they got down into the red zone area, they got really stingy. And I think that's typically what people fail to realize, right? Football is situational. Yeah, you don't want to give up these big plays. You don't want to allow people to kind of march their way down the field. But if you can win in certain areas, whether that's extending third downs or getting off the field on third downs, you know, as a defense, if they get down in the red zone, make them kick field goals, right? That keeps you in the game. And they were able to do that at advantageous points tonight, especially even on that first drive where you think they're about to go and score a touchdown. They was able to find a way to shore it up and make them kick a field goal. So those things matter, and I really like the way I saw that.
For sure. And that was one of the next things I did want to throw at you, is just what it's like to be on a defense that's like, hey, we might give up some stuff. We're going to bend, but don't break. Because that is what this Washington team has been all year. They will bend. They play with the third highest light box rate in the league, so they're going to be willing to give up some stuff on the ground. And Bucky Irving did find a couple of big carries in the second half, but they don't seem to lose confidence that in the red zone, they'll figure it out, or they'll get a turnover. And I think in the long term, that's who Joe Witt and Dan Quinn want to be, is like, we don't even want to have to get the red zone stop. Like, we're going to get somewhere down there, and right, then we're going to force a turnover, because that's what his defenses were in Dallas for years. What's it like to be on a team like that, and how do you stay focused, stay confident when you are giving up those big runs in the bending portion of bend but don't break?
Yeah, I mean, nobody ever, you know, kind of wants to be deemed as a bend but don't break, right? Because typically somebody's breaking down, right? It's a lack of execution, whether gap integrity or someone breaking down the back end. But you understand that the biggest thing, I think, when we see that the culture change that you heard people constantly talking about tonight, I think the foundation of a bend and don't breaks type of defense is the mentality of, regardless of what happens, we're going to go out here and finish and defend every blade of grass, right? And typically bad defenses, you know, you give up a couple of bad plays, a penalty, it's like, well, let them, you know, it's kind of let them score type mentality. But this team continues to fight. And I think a lot of that has to do with the leadership we talked about, right? Bobby Wagner kind of leading that, being the linchpin there. And then guys around him really adapted to that. And so they compete. We talked about Lattimore. He's going to compete regardless if right, it looks like he's losing or not. He's going to give you everything he has. And I think consistently from man to man, they're able to do that even when they're giving up yards. And that's why if you continue to play hard, I'm watching this game, talking to my oldest son, right? Hey, you got to run to the football. Hey, look at Bobby. Look at Lattimore compete, right? The effort is game-winning effort, and that typically is going to put you in a position to make the plays that you need to, and really tighten down in the right moments. And that's what they were able to do.
And I think that's a huge defining characteristic of this team and how it's built. You know, you talk about it with a guy like Wagner, who's been doing it for over a decade. There's a great play. It wound up being on one of the touchdown drives for Tampa, but it's four plays. It's the first and goal play down by the goal line where Johnny Newton gets in the backfield. Like, that dude, second round pick, the reason he's a second round pick, the reason Adam Peters circled him as being like, that's a commander, is because right, of how that dude competes. And he winds up having to do a little bit of extra after Daron Payne goes out tonight. The other last thing that I want to talk about real quick before we look ahead to Detroit is an area you know quite well. Commander special teams tonight. Jameson Crowder has the big punt return. Yeah. And also, dude, their kick, one, how mad are you that you don't get to play on kick coverage the way that this kickoff rule is? You would have been unbelievable. And not that you weren't in your
form. I don't know if it would have been, I would have done well. I'd have been fine. But it's something about trying to block somebody that's 295. And that's what I did. That's when I first cover kicks, how big I was, trying to block me in space. I mean, so part of my game was running through cats. So I don't know if I would have liked it. I would have figured out a way to make plays. But yeah.
Maybe you would have transitioned to the lighter weight and the different position early in your career.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We never know.
But the way that they cover kicks, and it's Quan, like they got starting like Chin and Quan, and like they're starting DBs out there.
Yeah,
but
man.
Constantly like 20, 25 yard line.
Right. You got to take pride in it. I mean, back when I played, Sean Taylor was, you know, the starting L3. You know, so when you have that type of mentality of guys that want to be out there because they understand how beneficial it is to have a high level of special teams, right? You got to win in all phases, all three phases. And that was one of them. And they were physical. I mean, one of those returns that came out on the left side, I mean, the dude got popped by three or four different people. I remember chasing Crowder back in the day. Really good returner. Made two guys miss. That's a big. He got almost two first downs on a return. And that critical field position is huge in the difference of, you know, kicking a field goal, scoring a touchdown, or being able to flip the field. So all those things matter. Then obviously the field goal, being able to be, I think he was perfect tonight on his field goals and extra points, which is also something that is significant as far as those little things. Because those things aren't, you know, they're people say chip shots. Things aren't chip shots, you know, to be, or everybody would do it. Or they wouldn't have went through as many kickers as they did this year if everybody could do it, right? So
yeah.
Let's be grateful for the way our kicker went out there tonight as well and performed and executed.
I mean, also, Jaden, way to get all the way over to the left on that on the kneel down play before the last field goal. Considering he doinked it off the upright, you needed every foot to the left on that, on the game winner. So as people are listening to this perhaps later, Zoe, they far already know this. If you immediately flipped us on after the final whistle, I might be breaking news here to the folks that are watching live on YouTube. The schedule is out for divisional playoff weekend. The Commanders are going to face the Detroit Lions on Saturday night at 8:15 on Fox. So the full schedule is the Texans Chiefs at 4:30, Commanders another night game, this one against the Lions in Detroit on Fox, and then you'll have the winner of the Minnesota LA game face Philly 3:00 on Sunday, Ravens Bills 6:30 on CBS. So you get two full days of stress, Zoe. Yeah. The two night games for your two former teams that are doing battle next weekend. But I've said all week, like, look, if it's Detroit, which is always the most likely outcome, and it ends against Detroit with the way that Detroit's playing, there is no sadness in that. If you pull off that upset, right, that is going to be tremendous. So I'm not writing them off. I'm not saying that they don't have a chance. It is going to be a very tall task because the Lions are very, very good. What's kind of your first blush look at the matchup against the Lions?
Well, just thinking about it, I think playing Tampa this week is going to prepare them. I mean, they're very similar when you think about how they play defense, right, in their quarterback play. I would say the only thing that's different is probably a little bit more explosive in the run game and on and off, a little bit more balanced when you think about Gibbs as well as
Montgomery, who's back.
Montgomery, who's back now, and then you got Brown, that's on the outside, right?
Is it St. Brown?
Right?
Yeah,
St. Brown, right on the outside. So that, I think their group of players collectively on offense are probably a little bit more explosive. But the physicality that you're going to see on their defensive side of the ball, yeah, I know 13 starters are hurt, but they still go out there and play a physical brand of football. They're going to play a lot of man-to-man on the outside, just like Todd Bowles like to do. They're going to try to light you up at times. And so I think this is a great way to warm up. If you're going to warm up and have a good matchup and go to another team that's a little bit better, playing someone similar could help you in understanding that what type of game you're going to be walking into. So I think the Commanders have as good a chance as anybody to be able to walk into to Detroit and beat them. The way they're playing, the confidence level is going to be, I think, a really good game. And if Jaden Daniels goes out and does what he did tonight, they're going to be there, you know, at the end, just as they were, and probably have a chance to shut them down as well.
If the whole mantra is anybody, anywhere, anytime, Detroit 8:15 Saturday nights, won a hell of a challenge for Dan Quinn's crew. But I love that point because they are a super physical defensive team who's going to try to man you up. Aaron Glenn's a bit of a crazy man, and I mean that as a compliment in how he's going to blitz and try to heat up Jaden. But I think the best way to defend against Detroit's offense is going to be very similar to the game plan tonight. Can you control the ball? Can you just be clean, chunk after chunk, first down after first down? No punters need to travel for this game. All due respect to Tress, between the way Dan Quinn's calling it and the way Dan Campbell calls it, everyone's going for it on every fourth down. I'm here for it. But that's how you're going to have to play if you want a chance. I think the biggest difference when I look at Detroit is two biggest differences. One, you 100% hit on with the run efficiency, how good they are with both backs is just a level up, and their offensive line is a level up from Tampa. And those two things go together. The other thing is the injection of speed with Jamison Williams on the outside opposite of St. Brown. Even though they're very different body types, there's a physicality and a similar enough route tree to some of the stuff that Evans does, the slants, the big inbreakers, the digs. Like St. Brown at this point is probably better. Mike's obviously had longevity and is still playing at an elite level, but his peak was Hall of Fame. And Amon-Ra is headed that way, the way he's going. But there's that physicality element with him. But Jamison Williams and the speed element is the other one. And so figuring out how to keep a cap on that defense where you're trying to defend the run, but also you have to worry about the deep ball. There's just a lot to defend for Detroit, which is why they are the best offense. It's why they're the one seed. And Logan and I will be talking about that more this week. So this was great, man. I can't thank you enough for doing this. Really great to have you, especially after a win. Love to see it. Any final thoughts on this Commanders victory? First playoff win since 2005 on the way out.
I know. I was just telling my wife, you know, we talk about Sean Taylor. I remember watching that game. I was in Carolina at the time. I was eating at like a Dave and Buster's watching that game as they won that. I think it was in Tampa too, right? Versus Tampa, might have been in the same stadium. So it's really cool to kind of see that, you know, be, I guess, old enough to have watched both games and really understand and then play with the organization. So shout out to the Commanders. Really good to see this team and organization going in the way that the fan base deserves. And I just wish continued success and health to those guys, man, because they do it the right way, being around them a little bit. I know they put the work in and they pros. So especially my man, Scary Terry, really have a lot of appreciation the way he approaches and plays the game every single time.
Gotta love that he got in the end zone again, 14th time this season for Terry McLaurin. All right, I'll be on the radio tomorrow, 4 o'clock, as usual. We'll get started with 1st and 10, the whole usual Monday rigmarole. It's just another week in football season, so we don't have to go to the offseason schedule yet. Love to see it. That also means that Logan and I will be back with a film breakdown on Tuesday, and yes, another game preview on Thursday. For Lorenzo Alexander, I'm Craig Hoffman. We'll see you next time on Take Command.